Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is our spring membership drive. We'll get back to that in just a minute. But first, I wax poetic. Astronomy is both the oldest and the youngest science of them all. Oldest because almost every ancient culture tracked and predicted the motions of the sun, the moon, and the planets. Youngest because only in roughly the last century have we come to understand the size and the age of the universe we live in. And only in the last 50 or 60 years have we truly begun to understand the physics of that universe. I use the word we very, very loosely. Joining us today to talk about all of that. Not me. Joining us today to talk about all of that and more is Tom Burns, an associate professor of English at Ohio Wesleyan University and also the director of Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory. Welcome to the show, Tom.
I'm always glad to be Tom Burns, astro nerd. Damn glad to meet you.
You're listening.
Send money.
Send money. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $2,000, and we can meet this goal with your help, and we can only meet this goal with your help. Online pledges count toward the goal, too, at WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $75 level, our thank you gift to you will be 4 tickets to the Perkins Observatory. Tom Burns comes bearing gifts again. This is thanks to Observatory Director Tom Burns, who is a great friend to WOSU. You can get a family 4-pack of tickets by making a pledge of support to 89.7 NPR News right now. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And, you know, I've been checking my iPhone app. First, I have to turn it on. And I have that the sun was to rise and probably did at 6:40 a.m., that the day is supposed to be 13 hours and 38 minutes long.
Ah, yes.
The sun sets at 8:19 p.m. at an elevation of 63 degrees. Whatever. Venus ascends at 8:22.
Yes.
Ascended, apparently, at 8:32 a.m. And Mars will ascend at 3:03 p.m. These are just facts.
We have planets and plenty of them right now. It's a planet fest, planet-orama up there in the sky right now.
There are, and you can really see them this time of year.
That's right. You know, it's not a yearly thing. They have their own cycles, but it just coincidentally, although we just lost Jupiter, it's a little too low to see, Venus is looking good, and it will look good for the next, 6 weeks or so, and I have to go out there in the west, very high right now, but making its death dive toward the sun or toward the horizon is Venus. And if you happen to have a small telescope at home or even a pair of binoculars, you're going to be able to see that crescent Venus. And oh my goodness, it's just over the next few weeks, it's going to get thinner and thinner and thinner. But coincidentally, well, not so coincidentally, it is also approaching Earth. So there will come a moment where that thin, beautiful crescent Venus will be visible to the sharp-eyed among you out there in radio land, to the unaided eye. And I have to say that this is one of those things that happened to me when I was a kid that is the reason that I'm sitting here on the radio. Gorgeous, just beautiful and spectacular. And then, of course, Saturn over there, rings, no extra charge. You'll need a telescope to see those.
Now, Saturn, that's, yeah, right, not, but the rings? To view the rings.
Yes, to view the ring. The weird thing about Saturn is that it is one of the largest structures in the solar system. The rings span almost 250,000 miles. Which means that Saturn with rings would just fit between Earth and Moon. But typically, Saturn approaches, well, not quite, 1 billion miles away. eyes. So I'm afraid you're going to need a telescope to see that one. Binoculars will not help you. Even a small one will do, though.
My guest is Tom Burns, director of Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory. If you have a question or comment for Tom, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is 89.7 NPR News, and this is a very special hour on All Sides because our good friend Tom Burns is in the studio with a special offer for listeners who call right now. Make a pledge of $75 and we'll send you 4 passes to the Perkins Observatory. Or if you pledge $150 right now, we'll send you 4 passes and the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $75 or $150 and support public radio. 1-866-897-9678. And by the way, Stars and Planets, The Princeton Field Guides, it's by Ian Ridpath and Will
Tyrion,
and it is Tom Burns approved.
That's right. Will Tyrion is the finest stellar cartographer on the planet today. And Will Tyrion is one of the finest writers on any subject. And this book is not just all you need to become the greatest compliment I can pay you, a stargazer. But it's also just extraordinarily well-written and drawn and illustrated and just gorgeous piece of work.
And it's a field guide, so of course it's the right size for traveling and taking it in your backpack, that kind of a thing. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, and make your pledge right now. Once again, our thank you gifts at the $75 level for tickets to the Perkins Observatory and at the $150 level. A copy of Princeton Field Guide's Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system.
That's right. Perkins Observatory programs every Friday night. Call me. There, I got the plug-in. I feel much better.
Well, we'll talk more about Perkins Observatory coming up.
Thank you very much.
It's $150 are the 4 tickets and the book. Sorry about that. 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. And David in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Good morning. Tom, I have a reminiscence I want to share. I took Professor Mitchell's survey astronomy course back in the winter of 1974. It was my first college course out of high school. And I remember you were one of Professor Mitchell's teaching assistants. And that has always stuck with me. I read Arthur Eddington's book after that. I remember I got a perfect score in my planetarium quiz. And it's the first time I pointed out to my girlfriend that stars have different colors. I mean, it really raised my consciousness about things. And, of course, the Moody Blues.
Very good.
Yeah. But when I was looking at Venus and Jupiter in conjunction, I thought, well, here's an opportunity to try to comprehend the distances. You need, you know, 3 objects to see perspective. And that course has always stuck with me. And Tom, I'm glad you're still around and doing well. And Professor Mitchell, wherever he is, that was just a wonderful experience. Astronomy rules.
Walt Mitchell has passed into the next world, I am sorry to say, but he was a good friend to me and a good friend to the observatory, and I miss him. In terms of, I think it's apt what you said. When you're staring into space, you're staring three-dimensionally. And a way of really experiencing that is to look over at Saturn. It's rising in the southeast, pretty high in the southeast by the time it gets good and dark. But the way you can see it is right next to it, to its right, is the bright star Spica in the constellation Virgo. Now, Saturn is about 1 hour and 15 minutes, give or take, away by light beam. Spica is 320 years.
Yeah, it's that's beyond comprehension.
I know it's easier to think about in terms of years. I mean, just go back. That light that you are looking at with spica started toward your eyeballs about, 1700 or something like that. Saturn is just really close and only an hour away. You know, I always point out to people, especially when we're looking at planets like Jupiter and Saturn, where you can see moons, those moons aren't where you see them anymore. In the space of an hour, a moon like Io traveling around Jupiter has traveled a considerable distance. I mean, the thing zips around Jupiter in 22 Earth hours. So you are literally everything that you see in the sky.
Tom, is there evidence that Galileo comprehended that that observation when he was making his observations of Jupiter?
Yes, I think so. I'm trying to think of what he wrote about in The Starry Messenger. You know, I don't know the answer to that question, but it is clear that what he noticed was that things changed, which was one of the things that got him in trouble. The sky, to the ancients, was supposed to be unchangeable, or it was supposed to change. The planets were wanderers, and they changed on a regular basis. But what Galileo noticed that was that everything was changing, and that's one of the things that got him into trouble.
Well, the one thing that doesn't change is the position of the North Star, the Queen of Heaven. I always marvel at that. That's the one constant in the physical universe.
No, it isn't.
Oh, don't spoil my...
I can't remember the exact number. It's something like a 27,000-year cycle.
Okay.
The precession of the equinoxes.
I remember that.
As Earth wobbles very gently on its axis, there will come a time in 12,000 years or so when the star Vega is the closest star to the northern pole and not Polaris. Things change.
David, thank you for your call.
All right. Thank you for hosting the show. I really enjoy it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, that's one thing about, I have to say, that's one thing about stargazing is that it has implications, not just for, you know, the spectral characteristics of BE stars, but in philosophy, in psychology, and most of all, in our hearts. These old stories, for instance, that I tell about the constellations go back, some of them, 4,000 years or longer, and they reflect what is deepest and most important about not just our heads, but our hearts as well. So get out there. Come on. Look at the milk. Get up at 4 in the morning. Get up at 4 in the morning. Look to the east and see the Milky Way stretched across the sky like the backbone of God.
Joining us this morning is the incomparable Perkins Observatory Director Tom Burns with our thank you gift for this hour, 4 passes to the observatory for a pledge of $75, or at the $150 level, the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, and those 4 passes to the observatory. This is a great reference book with star charts and information on 88 constellations, and you'll get passes to see the stars with Tom. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $75 for the passes or $150 for the book and passes. The number to call, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge in our secure server. It takes only a few minutes. I want to say thanks to Dan in Dublin. We have $1,900 to go in the next 40 minutes. Please make the call now and get back to the show as soon as possible. 1-866-897-9678.
We still have $1,900 to go.
I'm
not doing any good here. I'm going to stop. I'm leaving now. I'm going to go. I'm going to stop by people's houses. Remember, you can pledge on the internet. You don't have to stop listening. I'll see you.
Okay.
Bye.
Don't let Tom go. Make that call right now. 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. If you do want to talk to Tom, He really is here, and he's still here, about two fists lengths away from his microphone.
Wait a minute. There's a rule here. One fist length away.
614-292-8513 is the number to call if you want to talk to Tom. And Jana in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jana.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everybody. Tom, I have a question for you. What kind of programs are you offering, and who is able to attend them?
At the observatory.
Well, we have all kinds of programs. We do programs for schools, day and night, for senior groups, etc. But our regular ticketed programs are on Friday nights. They start this month at 8 p.m., next month at 9 p.m. Please don't blame me. Blame that cursed daylight savings time. Glad to have you folks. Give me a call at the observatory. And I will be glad to set you up with some tickets.
Thank you.
Or thank you. Make a pledge of $75.
Yes.
And they will be our thank you gift and Tom's thank you gift for making the pledge this hour. Jana, thank you so much.
Pleasure talking to you. Bye-bye.
And listen, I just want to say that for those of you who pledge, use those tickets, and I promise you that you will get an extra special howdy, hi, how are you from me when you walk through those doors. What you're doing here is, where else are you going to go to find out about the new rules about snakes that the about the Ohio Congress is going to pass
in such detail.
That's
the key there.
I mean, you would have listened to that, and that would have been a 37-second story on any other radio station or television station. And you know, I keep hearing about fair and balanced, and I don't hear it, and I don't see it anywhere else but right here. And so I only have one button set on my, well, I have two buttons set. One is for 101 and one is for, what is it?
Classical 101.
89.7. Classical 101. And
WOSU's
other station. They're the only radio stations I listen to.
Yay, Tom Burns. 1-866-897-9678. Joining us this morning is Perkins Observatory Director Tom Burns. Once again, with our thank you gift for this hour, 4 passes to the observatory for a pledge of $75. We were just talking about the observatory and that it's good for those Friday night, Friday evening programs, and those 4 passes to the observatory. This is a great, well, I'm sorry, or at the $150 level, the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, and those 4 passes to the observatory. It's a great reference book. Remember, we've used it for quite a while now, and there's just nothing any better out there. So you can't go wrong. 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $75 for the passes or $150 for the book and passes. And, of course, always give what you can afford. The number to call, 1-866-897-9678.
That's right, my friends. As my old preacher used to say, reach in your pockets and dig deep. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen from you? Thank you, brothers and sisters.
David in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Dr. Burns. I have one quick question. You have another observatory on the OWU campus, too, don't you?
We do, indeed, yes.
And what do you do with that? Are you still involved with that?
That is used solely by students at Ohio Wesleyan, and it's called the Student Observatory, but significantly, it was also built by old Hiram Perkins. He built 2 observatories on the Ohio Wesleyan campus, and by the way, we are... Perkins is down the road, but it's still part of the Ohio Wesleyan campus. Mm-hmm. He built that one first and used it to teach his astronomy classes, and it is still used for that purpose to this very day. And also used extensively by the Ohio Wesleyan University Astronomy Club. That's Ohio Wesleyan University, by the way, which is, by the way, a very fine university. You should send your children there when they graduate from high school. There, I got the plug
located in.
I feel much
located in Delaware, Dave, which is where you're from, David, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay. It is. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Burns.
I have to say that
I've always been curious.
I get these calls at 9 o'clock at night from people who say, I'm here at the observatory. How come there's nobody here? That's the other observatory, the so-called student observatory. Okay. But Hiram Perkins' first observatory. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. 9-inch Brashear refractor in there. Unparalleled views of the planets.
Thank you, David. Sig in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom and Ann. Couple of things I'd like to know. First of all, Tom, we've been told for many years, actually since the days of Edwin Hubble, that everything in the universe is moving away from everything else. So with that in mind, I've always been puzzled as to why the Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxy are moving toward one another instead of away from one another.
Well, there's a chaos involved here. It is generally true that the galaxies are moving away from each other. So if you take a spectrum of any given galaxy, chances are, 99% chance it's going to be moving away. However, galaxies do occur in clusters, in groups, and they are close enough to each other to be gravitationally attracted, and there is, again, a certain amount of chaos involved here, so that it is true that the Andromeda galaxy, which is part of our so-called local group of galaxies, is moving toward us, and we are moving toward it, and eventually they will collide. And I mark this on your calendars because you know, in a trillion years, this is going to be a really serious thing.
So in other words, you're saying that the gravitational effect within the local group itself is trumping the other effect that is causing things to move away from one another.
That's essentially true.
Yeah.
But there's also a certain amount of chaos in this as well.
Okay.
That is, if you threw a bomb in a room with a bunch of people in it, some of them would actually fly toward each other. This is an expansion that happens that means that things are going to fly apart, generally speaking, but there are going to be things that are moving together, closer together as well. And by the way, that is measurable and predictable.
Just one last quick thing. Back in the 90s, I really enjoyed your Thursday evening lecture programs with the OSU profs. Any chance of that being reinstated anytime soon?
It never stopped.
Really?
That was the first kind of program that Perkins had starting in January 1924, and it's been going on continuously every month, second Thursday of the month, ever since.
Gosh.
Okay.
I didn't know it was still going on.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So just call the observatory to get the info.
Right. And by the way, or go to our website, PerkinsObservatory.org.
And we'll put a link on our website at WOSU.org/LSides.
We're an org as well. By the way, just like WOSU, what org means, folks, is that the money doesn't come from any place else but you in one form or another. So. I don't hear that phone ringing.
Okay, Sig, thanks for the call.
Okay,
thank
you. Bye.
1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge right now. Thanks to Carol in Columbus and also Samantha in Columbus. We have $1,700 to go. We have some callers waiting and we have an email. But first, we want to once again ask you to show your support for WOSU, for All Sides with Ann Fisher, and the kind of programming we bring to you every day. I always make the promise, and you always for you, Tom, that you'll be back on a non-pledge day so we can really concentrate, particularly on the summer sky.
Oh, yes.
1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to show your pledge of support right now. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive, and our goal today is simple: to get your pledge of support at 1-866 877-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. All Sides brings you conversations with interesting people in our community, people like Tom Burns. But we can only continue the conversation if we have listener support. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. And in return for your pledge, we are offering you a family four-pack of passes to the Perkins Observatory for a pledge of $75 to 89.7 NPR News. Or for a pledge of $150, you can get the passes and the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system at the $150 level. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Make the call right now, and then you can get back to the show. Thanks to Beth in Columbus. We have still have $1,500 to go. $1,500. I know we can do it in about 28 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678.
And I just like to say that when I leave this place, I'm going to walk down to that room where those volunteers are sitting, and I am going to renew my membership as well.
And if he's
putting
telling
my
the
money
truth,
where my mouth is,
it means he does it every single time he's on the show.
Well, it's true.
Which is like three times a year. And all we're asking from any of our listeners is to show that support once a year, just once a year. Ann in Springfield, you're on the air. Hi, Ann.
Oh, hello. I have a question. I hope it's not too technical or too silly, but a few years back, I bought an amateur astronomer book that directed your attention to different starry things every night. And one of the things that it directed my attention to was a constellation near Capella, and it was a star that I think is pronounced Epsilon Argi. And one of the things it was saying was that it was a binary star, mm-hmm. and that it had a very long eclipse time every 25 years or so. So I calculated the next time that the eclipse should start, and indeed it seemed to start. And then I waited for it to end, and it seemed to end, and I felt very proud of myself. But one of the things that the book said was that this very large eclipsing object might be a black hole. And I just didn't want to know your opinion on that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you think that it could be a black hole?
I don't know, but it's possible, certainly. There's certainly some secondary star orbiting Epsilon Aurigae that causes it to dim every 25 years. By the way, there are a lot of eclipsing binaries like that. There is Mira, for instance, Mira the Wonderful, and some other stars like it, the Demon Star, and they eclipse on a much shorter period than Epsilon Aurigae. But yes, there is some, and it doesn't have to be a black hole to make that happen. It's possible that it might be. And it's really, in some ways, unlikely that it is, because all you need is some secondary star orbiting another star that, from our point of view, passes in front of the primary star. And when it does, it dims that primary star.
Thank you, Anne, for the call. It wasn't too technical, as you heard.
Okay, thank you so much.
Take care.
I'm so impressed with astronomers that you have so much patience. Sometimes it seems like you have to wait for years before you get to see the very thing that you want to see. I don't know how you stand it.
Well, that's right. You know, you have to wait 115 years to see a transit of Venus. And by gosh, I'm going to see the one that's coming up.
thank you. Thanks again, Ann. An email from Brian. He says, if the weather cooperates in June, there is a fun way for the smartphone generation to participate in astronomy. The free Transit of Venus phone app will allow individuals to send their observations of the 2012 transit of Venus to a global experiment to measure the size of the solar system. Mark your calendars for the evening on June 5th, 2012. And I have to say, I did mark that this morning when I was preparing for the show. I put it in my, you know, on my calendar, on my iPhone. Tell us, how would the people sending in their observations of the 2012 transit of Venus on June 5th help measure the size of the solar system? Do you know, Tom?
Well, what you're doing is, and this is not as useful as it was, say, you know, when Captain Cook went all the way to Tahiti to see a transit of Venus. But what you're looking at is the exact size of that disk of Venus on the sun. And that helps you to understand exactly how far Venus is away during that period. But I have to say, just for goodness sake, folks, buy yourself a pair of $3 eclipse glasses. Go out near sunset on June 5th and look at that little black dot on the sun. If it's cloudy, get out your iPhone.
Okay.
If it's clear, for gosh sakes.
Go watch it.
Go see it with your own two eyeballs, you know?
And that only happens how often?
Well, it happens two times over in 8 years, every 115 years.
Okay.
So back in 2004, some crazy people like me stood, this is literally true, on the Aswan Dam as the thermometer reached 138 degrees and watched that little black spot move.
On the sun that day.
On the sun that day. And it wasn't the same old thing as yesterday. And I remember thinking, as I'm watching this, you know, maybe I'll try to catch this from, I'll try to catch this in 2012 when it was going to happen again, if I'm still on the planet. And this one, if you want to see the whole thing, you have to go to Hawaii, which if you think about it, is not a bad thing.
In fact, but, you said you know people who are.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I, on the other hand, will set up a telescope someplace and have a bunch of eclipse glasses for people if they want them. It won't be at Perkins because for us, you'll see about 20 minutes of this at sunset, and you want a really good western horizon.
Okay.
But go find a place, buy a pair of eclipse glasses, or buy yourself a $5,000 solar telescope and watch the little black spot on the sun.
Our goal this hour was $2,000. And thanks to Michelle in Columbus, we now have $1,400 to go. Before the end of the hour, go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678 with a membership to 89.7 NPR News. You will be supporting public radio and supporting all sides. And this hour only, we have two great thank you gift options. Get your own copy of the Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets and four tickets to see the stars with Tom Burns at the Perkins Observatory for a pledge of $150. Or if $75 fits into your budget, get four passes to the observatory as a thank you for supporting all sides during our spring membership drive. Pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Tom Burns is a great friend of 89.7 NPR News, and he's the director of the Perkins Observatory in Delaware, and he's here today to talk about exploring the night sky. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And remember, you have a chance to support public radio right now and help us meet our goal while Tom is on the air. And remember, every gift of $60 or more gets you the WOSU member card, good for discounts at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions. 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge online on our secure server. It takes just a few minutes. Been there, done that. Kendra in Dublin, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Kendra.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was calling with just a quick question. We love your programs. My whole family does. We were wondering if it's possible to look at the stuff in your library when it's not a Friday night program or Saturday night.
If I'm around, yes.
Okay.
Give me a call. If I'm around, you're welcome to look at the books.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
All right. Yes, we have
Thanks,
a
Kendra.
Library. It has real books in it. Ooh. What a concept.
What happens if it's a rainy night or a cloudy night?
In that case, we try to be...
That never happens on Friday nights.
We try to be extra entertaining on cloudy nights. I'll usually give a little talk entitled Everything You Would Have Seen in the Telescope Had the Skies Been Clear, and how to find it yourself in a pair of binoculars from your own backyard. And then we will do tours of the observatory, complete with ghost story.
Ooh.
If you're good.
Thanks to Amanda in Columbus and also Nadine in Upper Arlington, we have $1,100 to go. $1,100 and about 19 minutes. Give us a call. Make the call right now. It takes just 2 minutes and you can get back to the program. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org. Once again, thanks to Amanda in Columbus and Nadine in Upper Arlington. We still have $1,100 to go, though. We need to get cooking.
Can I say something about this? Mm-hmm. Listen, I just recently was listening to WOSU, NPR, and there was just the most exquisitely moving story about kids with Asperger's syndrome, and I have a son with Asperger's syndrome. And I sat there in the car. I had to pull the car over to the side of the road. And I wept. I don't weep when I listen to other radio stations. And the thought that this place might not continue because I don't provide my support is just too much for me to bear. Sorry. Call in, folks, please. Go online. Help keep this place alive.
Thank you, Tom. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Faye and Richard in Worthington, $975 to go. Thanks for pushing us over that $1,000 edge. Faye and Richard in Worthington. You can go to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. Tom, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. Email from David. I have heard that in 2029, an asteroid will pass through Earth's atmosphere before returning again a few years later. How could the atmosphere impact the trajectory of that asteroid, and how will it look as it interacts with the atmosphere? And should I go down to my basement and hide? I just added that. Sorry, David. I added that.
I wouldn't. There's this kind of magic area around Earth that's sometimes called the box. And if an asteroid enters it, it's too close to do any harm. And realize that these are complex kinds of equations. So I wouldn't worry about an asteroid impacting the Earth. But if one impacts the way one did 65 million years ago, then hiding in your basement will not help because the effect of the dust is going to, you know, basically make Earth colder. So much for global warming if that happens. And that happens about on average every 65 million years. And come to think of it, the last one happened every 65 million years.
So. Happened 65 million years ago.
The last 65 million years ago. So, but again, this is something, thanks to your tax dollars, NASA is really keeping track of. And so if anything bad is going to happen, they'll let you know.
Yeah, I heard a really interesting story about that on NPR the other day.
Right, right. How careful
they're monitoring that and the efforts to which they can go to, you know, the things they're working on to affect it if it should come too close.
You know, it's amazing what they do. With from the ground, by the way, mostly. I mean, they're keeping track of every nut and bolt in space. A few years back, one of the space shuttle astronauts let loose a pack of tools, and it's in orbit around Earth, and they know where it is. They keep track of where
it is. Just in case they ever need a hammer or a pair of pliers and they run out.
Well, what they're worried about is that one of them might change orbits or whatever, and or they might launch a spacecraft. Mm-hmm. And believe me, these things are moving at 17,500 miles an hour. And if it had hit the windshield of the space shuttle, that would have been really, really bad.
Ow. Barb and Bexley wanted to know about the sun's halo yesterday. I missed that, Barb. She and any folklore associated with that phenomenon.
Well, lots, actually. What you're seeing are various phenomena, sun dogs, halos, coronas, etc., that are caused by clouds. That is, the sun shines through the clouds and you get what are called diffraction effects. So when you see sun dogs, those two little fake suns on the side of the cloud, that's some cirrus cloud that has gone in front of the sun. So you see two fake suns on either side. Same thing goes for a halo. The same thing happens with the moon. So you can see lunar halos and moon dogs and things like that. There are just literally hundreds of things that can happen that produce those kinds of effects, like anti-crepuscular rays and things like that. I mean, it's just gorgeous to watch, though, when it happens.
So you always have
always
to be looking
it,
up.
Though. I hate it, though, because you know what? You know what those halos mean? It means that cirrus clouds are coming in.
And
that means that there are other clouds behind those cirrus clouds that are going to make another cloudy night in central Ohio.
No silver lining on that cloud. I'm sorry I couldn't help it. Thanks to Anthony in Dublin. We have $750 to go. Anthony, thank you so much for pushing us into the $700 range to go. We have about 13 minutes. $700. If we get seven people calling in the next 13 minutes, we will make goal. We could go over goal, and we need to, because we need to stay on track. And when we fall behind in other places, we catch up here. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Make your pledge of support right now.
I have to say, I really do renew every time I come
you do.
On the air. And I know that because I'm getting three copies of Newsweek magazine. I swear to God, well, I've been trying to call them. I say, I only need one.
To,
I only
that.
Need one of those.
Yeah. Maybe there's a way to manage that this time. So
you know,
aren't getting
one
four.
For me, one for my wife, and one for the dog. So.
Yeah, this is in return for your pledge. We are offering you a family four-pack of passes to the Perkins Observatory for a pledge of $75 to 89.7 NPR News, or for a pledge of $150, you can get the passes and the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system. At the $150 level, the family four-pack of passes to the Perkins Observatory for $75. You can learn about the night sky with stargazing expert Tom Burns right in your own backyard at the Perkins Observatory. We are very lucky to have that in our neighborhood. We'll send you four passes so you can take your entire family to enjoy the night sky, or three of your best friends. Spend a lovely night with your family in Delaware at the observatory. Learn some astronomy, tour the observatory, and view the night sky. Perkins has a public program just about every Friday night. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. At the $150 level, four passes to the observatory and the book, Stars and Planets. Get the four passes we've been talking about so you can visit the observatory with your family or friends. Get a copy of the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets. This book has detailed charts covering each of the 88 constellations. There's data there and notes on all the bright stars and objects of interest, so you know what you are looking at and when you are stargazing. The authors provide tips on choosing and using binoculars and telescopes in this book. Beginning on page 26, you'll find monthly star charts so you know which constellations you can see in May and which ones you'll see in October. It has everything you need to know about the moon, including detailed moon maps and fun facts, nearly 400 pages of information, and a handy index for quick referencing.
Great. That's right. Absolutely fabulous book. Everything you need to become the greatest compliment I can provide to you, a stargazer.
Maybe somebody you know is heading off for college. They're going to be taking a course in astronomy coming up. This could be a very helpful additional text for them to use.
Listen, when I was in college, freshman in college, my future wife and I walked away from the College of Worcester so that we could get away from the lights, and we found this little park, and I saw the Milky Way for the first time. But I knew what I was looking at because I read the book. It wasn't this book, it was another book.
But a book, and a book will help.
And I knew the sky, even though I didn't, I hadn't seen that particular object. I knew what it was going to look like. And I'll tell you, it blew me away. It blew me away, and it changed my life. And you need a little help, and the book really does help. You know what else also helps? Make the pledge, get the tickets, come up to Perkins Observatory, and I will show you. I will personally show you what the wonder and majesty of the universe
you're listening
live in.
You're listening to Tom Burns now. You ain't heard nothing yet until you've been up to the observatory and heard him in his environment.
Oh, yes. I'm showing a great deal of self-control right now.
Thanks to Karen in Columbus and also Sharon in Blacklick. We have $500 to go and just about 9 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678. We have time for one or two more calls, too, if you want to get the call in right away. 614-292-8513. You can also email us if you can do it quickly at allsides@wosu.org. We love the questions. I do have plenty of my own, however, so I'm always ready, willing, and able to continue. But if you want to talk with Tom, give us a call. If you want to make that pledge of support, like Karen and Columbus and Sharon and Blacklick and Anthony and Douglas and all the others that have contributed this hour, give us a call.
Hallelujah.
1-866-897-9678. We need just five more calls, and we can make the goal. Five more calls, we'll do it. 1-866-897-9678. Make the call right now. Get back to the show. There's plenty more to go, at least 8 minutes to go. So there is a partial annular eclipse of the sun coming up on May 20th.
Yes.
Right around the corner, less than a month away, visible in parts of Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. If orders of eclipse glasses at Perkins are any indication, how many folks do you figure are going out there?
Oh, lots.
What is it?
It's weird because, you know, an annular eclipse is kind of like, well, as the old saying goes, kissing your sister. A total eclipse, the moon passes completely in front of the sun and you see the beautiful corona like angel hair around the sun. An annular eclipse, the sun isn't completely blocked. You see an annulus, a ring of sunlight around it. But what that means is that there is no moment when you can look at the sun. It's pretty cool, but there is no moment that you can look at the sun safely without some sort of protection. So I know a lot of people are going out there.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. First of all, you have to be in exactly the right spot to see the annulus. Otherwise, you're just going to get a partial eclipse of the sun. Secondly, take some protection.
What are those glasses made of? What are they made of?
They're made of a black plastic polymer. There are also some that are made out of aluminized mylar. And they work by either absorbing or reflecting all but 1/10,000th of the sun's light. Get the picture here? That's 1/10,000th. That means looking at the sun without some sort of real protection is really, really dangerous. And, by the way, a Pop-Tart bag will not work. Unless, of course, you leave the Pop-Tart in the bag.
Have people called up and asked you about Pop-Tart bags?
CDs, DVDs. Pop-Tart bags, looking at the sun reflected in a pool of motor oil, and a lot of other weird stuff that I can't remember. It's not safe. You need specialized equipment to do this. Don't mess around with it. Don't take shortcuts. Spend the $3 and get a pair of eclipse glasses, okay?
Thanks to Harold in Columbus and also Edward in Marysville. We have $350 to go. Give us a call right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Make the pledge right now. During this hour, you'll be eligible for those four tickets to the Perkins Observatory at the $75 pledge level. And at the $150 pledge level, you'll have access to those four tickets and the book Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system, recommended by the one and only Tom Burns. Leo in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Leo.
Hey, thanks, Ann. I just had seen a report a few days ago about the potential for a company to start mining, you know, asteroids in outer space, and I wanted to get his opinion on it to see what he thought, if that could possibly be done and why they would be doing that.
Maybe in 100 or 150 years.
Why?
Right now you have this serious two problems, startup costs and transportation costs.
this is being done by the founder of eBay. The most wealthy, the five most wealthy individuals in the country, probably the top 10 in the world.
Trust me, there's no profit in it. And let's just say that, 20 years ago, I heard a bunch of companies said that they were going to create these suborbital spacecraft that you could get a flight on, and it would only cost you $2,000 and to get in on the ground floor on this. Well, none of those companies exist anymore. They went broke. It was a scam. In this case, it's not a scam, but what you're thinking in terms of is the long term here, not the short term. That's not going to happen for a long, long time. Too many startup costs, and in the end, because of transportation issues, you're not going to make a profit. And if companies don't make profits, they don't go into business.
Thank you, Leo.
Yeah, well, I just wanted your opinion. What the actual elements that they would be going for, would you have any opinion on that?
It would certainly wouldn't be coal. It would be, you know, they'd probably be going
for dinosaurs on asteroids.
They'd probably be going for precious elements. Yes, right. No dinosaurs on them, or plants on those asteroids. But I just can't see why anybody would want to do this. I mean, it's just really, really hard to do.
You're a capitalist pig. Thank you, Leo. We have to get back to our pledge. Thanks to Dean in Grove City and Ralph in Westerville. We have just $100 to go, and we'd like to exceed our goal by $500. We're a little behind where we want to be for the overall drive. $500 more will help get us, help nudge us in the right direction. Be one of the people that helps get us there now. 1-866-897-9678. When you make that call right now, you're sending a vote of confidence for All Sides with Dan Fisher, for the programs that we bring you every single day. 1-866-897-9678. Tom Burns, as I've said before, will join us sometime later in the summer for a non-pledge show. And that's not unusual to have that. This is a very typical kind of show. The only difference is we're now asking you to tell us this is something you care about. This is something you enjoy. This is something that matters to you. Thanks to Hal in Columbus, we have met the goal. Now
Hallelujah.
We have $500 more to go to push us in the right direction with the overall pledge drive, and you'll still be eligible for those four tickets at the $75 level, pledge level. The four tickets to Perkins Observatory, compliments of Tom Burns and Perkins Observatory. Also, the book Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system. And the four tickets at the $150 pledge level. It's a great opportunity. You'll have great fun, and this book is a keeper forever and ever and ever. There isn't a lot of things they can discover. I can't imagine that's not dealt with in this book. Thanks to Jenny in Columbus and also Karen in Worthington. Thanks to Tom Burns for joining us today as well. Tom, thank you so much.
A pleasure. I'm going to go pledge right now.
Okay. Hope you will too. 1-866-897-9678. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the McCoy Center. New York Fire Chief Richard Picciotto will tell his story of survival and escape from the September 11th collapse of the World Trade Center. Tuesday, April 24th at the McCoy Center in New Albany. McCoyCenter.org.